That's my progress. This one.
A year and a half ago, you probably wouldn't have expected Emilia Sanchez to be picking out a graduation outfit. She didn't.
When I stopped and really thought about it, like, like, you think I'm really going to graduate? And, like, I kept saying to everybody, oh, I'll make it, but, you know, deep down, like, when I was honest with myself, like, I had no idea.
Emilia was attending Staten Island's Curtis High School at the time, or at least she was enrolled there. Going to classes was another thing entirely.
I would get dropped off at school at Curtis in the morning, and everybody, all my friends would be smoking cigarettes outside. Then we'd go to somebody's house, and we would smoke weed, and we would drink, and we would all get trashed and just hang around. And then everybody would just make their way back to the school, and you would go home, and the next day go back and do the same thing.
Emilia's behavior started going downhill at the beginning of high school. With big brown eyes and tight ringlets, she had always been pretty. But in ninth grade, she began trying to draw attention to herself.
I changed. I started using gel and wearing makeup and all this kind of stuff and, like, dressing differently. And I wanted to fit in so bad.
She stole, lied, did drugs, and ran away, sometimes through her bedroom window and sometimes out the back door of her school.
I would drop her off at the front door, and I'd get a call inevitably a couple hours later that would say, do you know where your daughter is? And I'd be like, well, I dropped her off at the front door this morning. I don't know where she is right now.
Kirsten Swenson is Amelia's mom.
And we had guidance counselors chasing through woods, and we had episodes of, you know, driving up and down highways and whatever the case may be, where I would go out looking for her and wanting to know that she was safe.
Swenson is a hospice nurse and a single mother of three. Hanging above her couch is a plaque that reads, raising teenagers is like nailing jello to a tree.
There were times when I thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't. You know, I don't know where else to go. I felt hopeless. I really did.
So Swenson did what many New York City parents do when they can't handle their teens. She took Emilia down to the local municipal building with the hope of getting her labeled a person in need of supervision, or PINS. Swenson had heard that the PINS program might bring her daughter back. Emilia had heard it was a little like prison.
I thought it was, going to be like having the collar on your foot and having your patrol officer come visit you all the time.
Once upon a time, the court did allow kids to be locked up for cutting school, running away from home and the like. As New York City's Commissioner of Probation, Martin Horan, explains.
It dates back to the turn of the century when there was this notion that there were children who were incorrigible and who were beyond the control of their parents. And when the law was first written, the courts actually had the authority to place them actually in secure detention.
Kids can no longer be sent to detention for actions that aren't criminal, but the court can send them into foster care. In 2002, the city began redesigning the system, and by last year, every borough had its own program to help families seeking PINS stay together and out of court. Commissioner Horn.
We basically said, before you get to see the judge, you have to stop at this desk, and we're going to say, well, what's the problem, and can we help you?
So when Emilia got to the Staten Island PINS diversion program, there was no electronic ankle bracelet waiting for her. And instead of landing in court, she wound up in therapy with her mom. Yesenia Ortiz was a social worker assigned to their case.
When I met them, she had absconded from the home for 3 days. And the mother was reporting to me that she was gone. She jumped out the window. She went to the bedroom, and she wasn't there. And then she was explaining to me how she felt violated and lied to.
Emilia had seen therapists before, but somehow Ortiz asked the right questions.
She's like, I need you to tell me what's going on, what you want to talk about, what you want to work on, and if you even, like, want this for yourself. And it made me think. I actually want to do graduate on time, and so I would start opening up to her a little bit every week.
They talked about everything from her relationship with her then-boyfriend to her feelings about being adopted from foster care. Emilia had lived with Swenson since she was 18 months old and been officially adopted at 7. But Ortiz helped her realize she was still confused about her identity.
But after we put that all on the table, I said, well, how much of this does your mother know? And apparently she did not know any of it. She didn't know that her boyfriend had beaten her. She didn't know that She was using drugs as an escape because she didn't know where she fit in.
Swenson also didn't know that Amelia was hurt by certain comments she had made in anger. Swenson had compared Amelia to her biological mother, who had used drugs and been promiscuous. Amelia eventually told her mother how hard it was to hear this. Ortiz says Swenson took it well.
She accepted responsibility, acknowledged that she was doing that, which was awesome. And she stated that she didn't know how painful it truly was for Amelia and how life-altering that was for her. And once that began to change, their relationship began to develop.
Amelia switched schools last fall. She went from failing all her classes to being third in her class. These days, when she walks in the front door of school, she stays. She recently got an award for a civic participation.
We, the members of the Business and Professional Women's Club of Staten Island, are pleased to present Amelia Sanchez with this Leadership Civic Participation Certificate.
Even in the improved PIN system, success like Amelia's is still rare. In her case, a good social worker, a devoted mother, and her own willingness to think honestly about herself made a remarkable turnaround possible. Most kids aren't so lucky. Warren Lyons is executive director of the Staten Island PINS Diversion Program.
Maybe three-quarters of the youngsters fall by the wayside. They don't, quote, make it, close quote. Many of the kids who don't make it will end up in jail.
Amelia will continue working at the diner over the summer, and in the fall she'll start classes at the College of Staten Island. She says she wants to become a social worker and work with troubled teens. But first, there's tomorrow's graduation, where she'll perform a song she wrote.
As we look ahead in life, and we thank you for our past.
For WNYC, I'm Sharon Lerner.
Take with us, build dreams that forever last. From this day into the next, may we strive to be our best. To show the world just how we are, better than the rest.